The Drop with Frank and Brian is officially brought to you by Switch Suspension. Switch Suspension specializes in all vehicle chassis components. Lift kits, lowering kits, air ride suspension, wheels, tires, steering, and brake upgrades. They use all the best products from the best brands. And these guys are truck guys. You roll into their parking lot at the shop and they all drive custom vehicles. So they use their products that they sell on their own vehicles. So if you guys are looking for anything for your vehicles, whether you're just starting out or you just need some replacement parts or whatever, give them a call or visit their website, switchsuspension.com. You know, I don't know. Who knows? Technology is crazy.
Yeah.
Technology is crazy. Anyway, how are you?
Good.
I'm doing really good. My kid, we are entering, today's Thursday, and yep. We're entering our championship game today.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we're undefeated in the tournament. So that
and
was
does cool. that all take place in the in town there?
Yeah. So each city here in the High Desert hosts a tournament based on the league. So you have like your 12 and 10 and unders, your 12 and unders, 14, all the way up to like, you know, 16. So each city hosts its own division, basically. And So we're in the 12U girls softball, and we're undefeated right now. We won two games and entering the championship game. So we'll see how it goes.
Is this the championship game? Is this the final game, or is
it's
that
the
or?
Final game of this? So not the division, but this region. So we're district.
Okay. So this you're right now in the National League West, and then there's another district, which would be another division, and then each have champion, and then whoever wins those divisions then starts to play each other, and then there's a winner of all the divisions.
Yeah. So right now we're in the district tournament, which is the High Desert. And then from here, we move on into the regional tournament, which is basically like all of the IE. It's basically all the IE. And then if they make it past that, then they get into the, I don't know what it's called after that. If it's, but then they start playing other, like other Orange counties. County. Yeah, Orange County, LA County, like that kind of thing. So
It would be funny to watch the IE play the Orange County.
It
would just be like where would they play it at? Would you have to go down there? Would they have to come up? Like, would they have to come out to the IE?
Well, no, because it just depends on who's hosting the tournament. So, like 2 years ago, our division didn't make it, but another one did, and they were playing. And then LA is actually divided into two things. There's West LA and East LA. West LA is the best. Like, they're the ones who always move on. You know?
Yeah.
Because like the Little League World Series, this is part of the Little League World Series, and the ultimate, the last series, the World Series of softball is in North Carolina. And so West LA has pretty much goes there every year. So
yeah. So was it, so that did the World Series used to be right there off the 15 or 215?
That's just, is it? I don't know what that's for, because they haven't hosted anything in a really, really long time. Yeah, but I know exactly I remember what you're talking about.
I think I remember hearing them, they did change it. They used to have it there, and then they changed it for some odd reason.
Yeah, and then they got that big statue of the kid right off the 215.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they moved it.
Yeah. Oh, it's not there anymore?
No, I don't know. Oh. I'm saying like...
They moved the tournament. I think
they moved the tournament.
I see. Yeah, but it's been really fun. It's cool because, like, you know, we started practicing in the beginning or the end of May, like the last week of May, and it all leads up to these few games. Last year, we didn't do too hot. Because you're allowed to lose two games. So, like, you start, and if you lose, there's a winner bracket, a winner's bracket, and a loser's bracket. So, you know, if you win, you just keep going straight. And if you lose, and you drop down into the lower bracket, which is still the path to win, but it's much harder because you have to basically – you're allowed to lose two games. So if you lost in the beginning and you drop down to the loser's bracket, if you lose again, you're out. And then if you make it all the way to the end, like, you're playing many – like, we've only played two games. But if you were to drop in the loser bracket, you could play like five games, and you have to win them all, you know, or only lose one more. It's kind of interesting. We get into everything about it. So like, not only do we watch our games, but we watch all the rest of the games.
Yeah.
So
we
scope out the other teams and see how their pitching is doing. You know what? And then it's like a little scouting report. So then we go watch the other cities. I mean, like.
you know. Do any other parents do that?
Oh yeah, oh, they all do.
They all do.
Oh, they all do. Either because you can. Well, we were. You know, we don't wear our all-star shirts that I made, but some people do. Or if like we finish a game, we're still wearing our shirts. We're hanging out for the next game. Like, and you could tell the other cities, like, because they're wearing their stuff. And then, like, after a while, you just start remembering people.
Do the kids go with you, or is
No.
Okay, so they're okay. Because
everybody's into it.
I wonder if there's parents that go without the kids. The kids are like, no, you go, and the parents go.
We almost did that yesterday because we had a practice yesterday, and I told Angie's, oh, you want to go over to the games, watch the games, because like some games don't matter, like we played on Tuesday and we won that game, and there was a game after us, but that game had no bearing on us because the loser of that game played again the next day, and then that game mattered. So we stayed for that game. That game really didn't matter. It was more just like watching it and it go down. And then, but yesterday was the one that determined who we're going to play today. And I said, you want to go over there and watch a game? We're like, eh, we should go to the practice. So we went to the practice. But we're all watching because like you can, there's this thing called Game Changer, and you can watch the games and you can see the scores and everything like that. So we're all like, you know, app watching, you know, seeing, oh, like, oh, Barstow scored, Barstow, you know. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. Just because like, yeah, cause the kids get into it too. They're into it equally as much, and they want to know what's going on, and they get fired up. And
yeah, I think that's probably the most important thing. If you start to be in it more, like fired up more about it than the kid is fired up more about it, then there might be a problem.
Here's the thing though. It's very easy. It is.
I can imagine it.
Well, you know me, especially like me and Angie, you know, like it's easy to get wrapped up into it. Cause like there's that old trope, you know, you have the parents who are going crazy. And then like, you know, you're like, you know, it's just a kid. It's about the kids. It's for the kids.
Yeah.
Tell you what, man.
It's easy to get wrapped up. Oh yeah, of course it is. You're living vicariously through your kid is essentially what you're doing.
Yeah. Basically.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like that's when you see these parents get all wrapped up in it. You know, especially when you see it like online, when people are fighting or yelling or whatever, it's like you could just go home.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like this it changes nothing about the parent's life. It's you know, but being into it as an equal with your kid is definitely rad. You know what I mean? Because your kid is seeing that and all this stuff. But if your kid's like, yeah, whatever. And then the parent is like out there fighting umpires or something like that, then you're like, okay, all right. Then there might be a deeper issue here.
I could tell you stories, but I won't. From personal experiences.
Oh, I bet.
But anyway, so that's where I'm at today. Championship game today. But if we lose today, then we play tomorrow. And if we lose tomorrow, then we're out. But it's been fun. Been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That's been my life. For like the last now, month.
if your kids get out and then you still go to the game,
oh, that'd be weird.
Then we're talking with some therapy, right?
Yeah,
they should have. Do they have sports parents therapy?
I would imagine. I mean, they would have to.
Yeah,
they would have to. Yeah, luckily for us, like all of our parents are pretty good. Other teams, other cities are a little more rowdy than others. Some gain a reputation for being a little more rowdy than others.
Yeah,
so you know. But no, it's fun. It's all in good fun.
No, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I
got. That's it. We're done.
Nothing. I have nothing going on. I have a lot going on, but I have nothing.
Well, you uploaded your Mini Nats video.
I did.
Yeah. It was great. Yeah. I loved it.
Yeah, it was.
You are so good at, and I haven't mastered that yet, is wrapping up the travel, making it interesting, but kind of quick. Like you wrapped up the whole, like, that whole journey was so long and we did so much stuff and you wrapped it up in, you know, about 4 minutes, but in that 4 minutes you didn't miss anything.
Yeah.
I almost felt like now what am I going to do?
Well, it was funny cause me and Lindsay had a conversation the other day and, she goes, when are you going to release the Mini Nats video? I was like, well, I was yesterday, but Frank Koch blocked me on YouTube
when
he released his LST video. Right. And, which we'll talk about in a second, but like, and she goes, oh, yeah, that happened a few weeks ago. Frank released something, and I was going to release something on the same truck. So then I had to wait and release something. And I was like, that's just what's going to happen. Like,
yeah, I mean, because we're all doing the same thing.
We're all doing the same thing, and we're all kind of attracted to the same thing.
Right.
And all these things. So you kind of got to, like, you do it your own way, and you don't – you take You look at how other people do things and you take like, what is it called? Like motivation inspiration? From that inspiration, uh-huh. motivation. And you go, oh, I didn't even think of that. And then you sprinkle a little bit of that on yours. Mm-hmm. And then it doesn't take away from yours. What it does is it adds to it. Or, you know, like, I do that with everything. When I watch anyone's videos, I'm like, oh, I didn't even think of that. And I don't take 100% of what they did. I'll just take like 5 or 10%, and it just makes mine a little more interesting, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. you know? And I think where mine videos differs, I don't talk a lot on the video like how you do. I make my videos completely and 100% about everything around me.
Right.
Or 90% about everything around me and 10% about me.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's what I did. So it's just a different way of showing what I'm doing.
Yeah. And then, so you mentioned I threw out my LST video, which I did. And I went the other way. So like I did a lot of talking and a lot of like taking the viewer, like explaining to them what's happening as we're going along, you know?
Yeah.
Which is sort of like my thing, you know, it's been kind of been my thing. And I was really happy with that one. I was really happy with the way that turned out.
It was really good. It was like you could tell you finally like,
broke.
Didn't go. You didn't. Okay, because there's like show coverage videos, right? Where it's just like nonstop show coverage, and then there's vlogging, which you start out like you're more of like the vlog type person than the show coverage person. But you kind of turned into this thing where you stopped vlogging for a while, and you like leaned on the show coverage, but it wasn't exactly what you wanted. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like,
And then
having the pocket, which is like a more compact, easy, high quality device, has allowed you to do more what you want to do.
Which is funny because you told like way back when you first got yours, you're like, you need this, like this will help you. And I was like, I don't know. I mean, I got my stuff. It works, blah, blah, blah. But no, it did, because it allowed me to walk around and have it in my pocket and then just do my thing and then whip it out. And then just like one thing that I really liked about the video was I kind of had this like little sub story of me trying to find this one truck.
It's funny because if you don't know LST and you just watch that, you set it up, you set the adventure up, and then you went on the adventure. But it was funny because the clips you used, you were walking the opposite way of where the truck was. But no one's going to know that.
Yeah.
But it's also kind of funny because you're like, I don't know where this thing is. So you're actually like kind of, if you do know, it can take you down a different journey of Frank's. Oh, no, you're going the wrong way. Go back this way. Like you're kind of all over the place. And then you find it, and then you complete your little mini journey within the story.
Well, and that was the thing is like I actually didn't know where it was. And so, I kind of like bragging a little bit, but that's how I set it up. I was like, I'm looking for this truck. And then I wanted shots of like, I don't know if you really noticed, but like, it was like really dense people walking around. Mm-hmm. There was like a truck with people walking in front of it. So it set this tone that like the craziness that is that show.
Yeah,
there's you just were so like much going on.
Yeah. Yeah. And you were on a hunt and you were just like, is it here? Nope. You did it in that's the way you do things without talking about things.
Right.
Like you can explain things through video without explaining them verbally.
Right.
And it's just like say you're going on a trip, right? And you don't say, all right, I'm leaving. You just say, hey, this is where we're going. And then like a drone shot or a freeway shot or a time lapse, that visually sets up the journey.
And there was a time when I was going the opposite way too, where I was over explaining stuff.
Yeah.
Well, it's a balance. It's definitely a balance, because I found myself saying, you know, one thing that I wanted to break out of a long time ago that I did was like, I would be like, okay, it's Friday. This is what's going on Friday. Okay. Friday's done. Okay. Now it's Saturday. Like I didn't need to explain that. Mm-hmm. I could just, you know, kind of like let the footage explain it, you know? So I'm trying to find that, that balance.
There's a magic to being linear and a magic to not being linear. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like if you look at, it used to bother me about certain things, like if there was a show and it was indoors and outdoors, if I would go from an indoor shot to an outdoor shot to an indoor shot to an outdoor shot. And so now I got caught into this thing where I would do all the indoors and then all the outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
And then even with the Mini Nats video, I started out at the show and then I went into cruising and then I went back to the show and then I went into cruising and then I finally back at the show. And if you noticed, the intro was me walking up to Lonnie and Jake and Rory. And then in the middle of the video, it actually shows them completing the task.
Uh-huh.
And at the end of the video, it shows the another portion of that. So it's just like this continuation.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah, I definitely like noticed
it,
that.
It brings you back and it brings you back. But at first, when I first edited the video, I have some funny stories about this. When I first did it, I did it show coverage, cruising, show. And I went, no, I don't like this. So I just grabbed the second part of the cruising and took the second part of the show and just swapped it. So okay. It was like, because it's such a long video, you can just get tired. And you can just
That's the thing.
Over and over.
And you said something interesting because you said that like I was like leaning on show coverage. I was actually using it as a crutch.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
That happened to me. Like I fell, and I'm not out of it yet because I still fall victim to it. But like I would be like, I'll just throw a bunch of show. Like, it doesn't matter. Just throw clips in there and then just throw music and it'll be fine. But it's not because I find myself watching my videos going like fast forwarding through those. Like, I don't care about those.
Yeah. Like, I think to other people, like I was like, oh, this is going to be a long video. But I go, yeah, but everything's interesting about it. And I think as long as everything's interesting about it, then the people watching it won't get bored of it.
Uh-huh.
You know, so it's like. But the two interesting things on that video is I had a different song for the travel part.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a test upload when I first started editing so I could just see if YouTube would not block the song,
mm-hmm.
you know, or whatever. Because YouTube has options, right? So if you upload a copyright-free song and you're in the as long as you have the rights, you're in the green. If you upload like a song that isn't copyright-free, there's options where you can share revenue with the artist and you. And then there's non-revenue sharing where you don't get any of it, but it doesn't strike you, and then there's blocked in some countries, so it'll give you this list of like 100 different countries that it's blocked in, random ones, and then blocked completely, so no one can see it. Mine was blocked completely.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
I've experienced all of those things except for the I've never experienced one where it gives you an option to share with the artist and yourself. It's usually like this is a copyrighted song and all the money is going to go to the artist.
Yeah. It's usually like a newer thing because YouTube basically goes to the artist or record company and says, look, if you let us do this, you'll get a little bit of money on the back end. You know, it's like it incentivizes the creator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which I never got that. So like, I mean, I get it, but I don't get it because yes, it's their song. You're using their song. It's licensed. They made it. But then like, it only fills like a portion of what you're doing. I mean, you're still
not creating. Not really. The music is just as important as the visuals.
Okay.
It is just as important. And if that song takes your video to the next level,
okay.
They have done the work for you essentially on that end of it. So I get it from that standpoint. But so the revenue sharing is nice because it's just like, hey, we both kind of did this, but, so I had to change the,
you got blocked completely. You were like, they were 100%.
So I was like, well, what the heck, man? I was so stoked on that song. It was from a band I listened to back in high school called the Dance Hall Crashers.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, yeah. So it went perfectly. The song was called Go, and it was just, like, nice and fast. But, but then I completely forgot about all the footage I had from the town.
Oh,
the
really?
I had a bunch of phone footage that I didn't transfer over, and I was like, wait, I have footage of this somewhere. So I actually shortened a bunch of things up to add that footage in.
That's cool.
So
is that other song? All the songs you used are just regular songs. They're not artless songs or anything.
No,
like that?
I can't go on I can't go on artless.
You're it down
makes
over
me
that.
Too mad. Like,
yeah.
I did a video yesterday, and artless I use for client stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it works for not just my stuff but client stuff too. So I was on Artlist yesterday looking for stuff, and I'm just like, man, it just
like, you know,
it just becomes so. I mean, a 22 minute video with very little talking.
Uh huh. You need a lot
of
music.
There's no way. I need a lot of music.
Yeah.
A video where you're breaking it up with a lot of talking, they're perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not a big deal, but yeah, it's just. So, anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, two videos. One video from you this week. One video from me, and we got a podcast uploaded. And
I know we're doing good.
Dropping T-shirts.
Yeah. Well, I have a couple in the works right now.
Yeah.
So I'm not gonna really announce it, but I do have new designs coming. But yeah, you dropped a brand new shirt.
Yep.
How long is your pre-order still going on? Right.
It's already done.
Oh, it's done.
It's when, done. I mean, the pre-order is done now, so you can still order regular shirts right now.
Mm-hmm.
But the pre-order for the talls and the special sizes is over.
Are you picking up the rest of them when you come out mm-hmm. next month? Okay, cool.
Yep.
Right on.
Yeah. Yeah, picking up all those, and I'm picking up another reprint of the Arizona square body shirt.
Nice, nice. So the two new videos uploaded, all the YouTube talk. The other thing that we were kind of like discussing the past couple days is this whole thing about like these big automotive channels, a lot of people leaving and stuff like that. We wanted to kind of just discuss it a little bit. And for me starting, maybe I'm just like, it's pretty obvious, but I don't know. I thought maybe I was like just like seeing inklings of it. But back when, you know, Hoonigan was sold to Will Pros a long, long time ago. So that, I don't think that was like an immediate thing for as soon as they sold, you know, Hoonigan to Will Pros, like it, this big change.
I happens. Think it was actually the other way around.
What do you mean?
Will Pros dissolved and is now Hoonigan.
Oh, but they still bought Hoonigan. Will Pros bought Hoonigan.
Yeah, I don't know the exact details and I'm sure other people do, but all the people that worked for Will Pros were now Hoonigan employees.
Yes. Because that, yeah, well, I don't think it necessarily dissolved, but just rebranded. I think they purchased Hoonigan, rebranded Wheel Pros as
Hoonigan.
Yeah. So, yeah, and that actually happened before Ken Block died. Happened like a year or two before he died. So this was like, you know, and I think it was this weird, like, kind of like crossover to where, like, the trajectory of them selling the brand and then, you know, doing their thing and it becoming something else, mixed with Ken Block's passing, and then all of a sudden people assume that, well, Ken Block passed, that's why all of this stuff is happening. But it was just real circumstance. It just happened. But yeah, so yeah, I started noticing things a long time ago. One thing that I noticed is when the content that Hoonigan was creating, because I guess we'll drop a link or we'll, because we watched this video of this guy who left Donut Garage, who kind of like explained what's happening, because there was a lot of videos of people leaving these big companies saying, this is why I left, or I'm leaving. So this guy, and the point of this guy's video was like, all of them did it in a very polite way, which is, you know, you would expect because you want to keep everything cool or whatever. So he kind of took a little bit different approach at it and kind of like peeled back the curtain a little bit to kind of show exactly what was going on. And one of the points that he made was that when these big corporations buy these smaller entities and turn it into basically like a profit making machine, the first thing to suffer is the content. Mm-hmm. And the content starts to change where, you know, they don't care about necessarily about creative stuff. They just care about maximizing profits. And how they do that is they just take the most popular thing and keep doing that. And I noticed that with Hoonigan a long time ago when they were, you know, they would do like the donk build, or like they had all of these different things going on, and then all of a sudden it was just this versus that. Mm. Did you notice that? Like the whole channel went to this versus that.
When we notice something, everyone notices
something. Well, yeah. I'm not like special or anything. Like I'm like, oh, I figured it out, you know? Like,
yeah, but when you can, a lot of times you'll start to just kind of see a pattern and you're like, you kind of question yourself. You go, is this happening, or am I just, is this, what's going on here? And then you just go to the comment section and they'll tell you what's up.
Yeah. No,
like,
basically.
Because they'll be like, you'll kind of question like your, like I said, and then the comments, you'll go in there and people will be like, yeah, I kind of noticed that too. And then you kind of come together as longtime fans of whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
And everyone sees a change, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, what's happening? Where's this going? And it's basically venture capitalists, right?
That's what it is. That's sort of where I was going.
Yeah, it's the guy that left Donut, that video that we'll put it in the description. So if you want to see what we're talking about, it's in the description of this video. Mm-hmm. But there was a couple other guys that left Donut, and they were polite about it. They also utilized, they were like, some of these guys are smart about it because Donut actually allowed them to announce that on the Donut channel.
Oh, that was a Donut video?
No, that was their video.
Oh, that was their
video.
There
was another one on Donut that they like, so Donut that, like, and it's kind of smart too, because even though people like will leave, like say Hoonigan, for example, they like, all these people left Hoonigan, they don't want to just diss or say, hey, screw you, because collaborations are important down the road.
Oh, yeah.
Because everyone has a following, and then they bring each other. It's like a back and forth thing. So nobody really wants to be mean about it because it's not smart business wise for anyone.
Oh yeah, it makes perfect sense, and yeah. I wouldn't expect anybody to be mean. That the one guy that we're
he was kind just of being honest.
On, he was like kind of being honest, kind of peeling, being a little more. Honest is the best way to put it.
Yeah, honest or
open.
Open.
Transparent.
Transparent.
Yeah,
that's what he's I was being like. A little I was more say transparent. Opaque.
Opaque. That's the other way. Yeah. Yeah. No. He was very transparent about the whole thing, and it's just like so we ask ourselves the questions like, is this just the circle of life for these channels? Do they? Because like and we're kind of like obviously because we're automotive guys and a lot of our focus is on automotive stuff, but it's happening across the board to creators across the board. There's like
and it's not new.
Yeah, it's not a new thing.
When I first started YouTube, I watched a video, CTFXY. Anyway, like the Internet Killed Television. This guy Charles Trippy. He's a bass player in a band too. I forgot, but he was making videos every day. Right. And then I got introduced from him. I started watching the Shaytards, which is Shay Carl and mm-hmm. his family.
They were like the very first vloggers, weren't they?
Kind of. Charles Trippy was first. Mm-hmm. And then Shay Carl and his family kind of not too long afterwards. And then there was this group of guys. So Shay lived up in Idaho. He actually moved to L.A. and they started this big media company. Right. And it was like all these creators from back in the day, iJustine, Jay Carl, and there's a couple other ones that I can't think of, but they started this media company. And well, what happened was is each of their channels suffered after that.
Oh,
because they were making content on this one media thing. Mm-hmm. And then Disney actually ended up buying that media company and it disbanded. And I think, and then a couple of the guys that left there started their own thing and then left there. But it took away from what you originally started watching,
right?
Which was all these things. But then you were like, "Oh, that'd be cool if they collaborated, right?" And then they did, and then it. But then money gets involved, and all this thing. And that was maybe not more of like a venture capitalist thing, but that was more of like the natural progression.
Yeah, that
of
was that seems a little bit different than what's happening to these like but it, other but channels.
What it is the venture capitalist sees that, and they just take that model mm-hmm. and they go. Oh, this thing is popular. Like they're not dumb. These people are super smart when it comes to business and stuff. And they just see money. They just see numbers.
Yeah.
Right. And then so they see, Hoonigan. Oh, Donut Media. This channel is like their growth is going up. And then they submit. I'm sure they submit some sort of offer to them, and they say, "This is how much we're going to pay you." And it's full production. But if you don't sustain these numbers and growth, then you know it forces the hand of the creator to mm-hmm. do. Whatever they say, but and it could really kind of ruin it. I wonder what the like say someone like you and me who have been watching Hoonigan for a long time and have been invested since kind of the beginning.
Yeah.
But what about someone that comes in now? Like what about like someone that starts to watch it as this is happening? Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's what they know. Mm-hmm. They don't know the old stuff. They know this stuff. So I wonder what the perspective of that would be.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about that because a lot of the comments and everything like that are the original people who say like, "Oh, this isn't what it used to be. It's no good. You can, you know," there's always a lot of comments and stuff like that. But
yeah.
No, that's an interesting perspective. It's almost like how we talk about like people who get into like the mini truck scene now, mm-hmm. you know, like they don't remember the Mini Truck Magazine or the old shows or anything. They only know mm-hmm. what's happening right now. Yeah, it's a really interesting perspective.
Yeah, and then the old guys. Or as Frank would say, old heads.
Old heads, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Old heads. Uh-huh. Get mad.
Yeah.
Because they don't remember or they don't, you know, who's this person? Oh, you don't know who that is? Well, you don't even know nothing.
Yeah.
And it's like, bro, I'm just getting into this.
Yeah.
I'm curious about that. Like if there's anybody that is actually a fan of what Hoonigan's doing now mm-hmm. because they never watched what Hoonigan did before.
Right, right. Yeah.
And...
Well, yeah, unfortunately for them, I think what happens a lot of the time, you do have those like really negative people who see those things. But like in my case, I just go like, "Oh, that's too bad," and then I just don't watch it anymore.
You know? I'm the same. Yeah,
I don't like get upset about it. I find it very interesting, and I like mm-hmm. you know, even though like we said earlier that like this is a thing that everybody you know sees, but it is it is fascinating to me finding it out for myself and putting all the pieces together, like. You know, okay, oh, that's weird that they stopped making this type of content. Yeah. They're solely focused on that. And then, like, you start, because that's what you naturally do. You find this thing you like, and I do it with bands all the time. I find this thing that I like. Well, to do the band thing, for example, like I find a band. Oh, this is really cool. So I go to Instagram, follow their page. Oh man, their members look pretty interesting. So you go like, cause usually they list their members and you start following the members mm-hmm. and then you start like becoming part of this like little community. Right. And the same thing happens with the videos is you find this brand. Oh, this is really mm-hmm. cool. They make cool content. The people inside start, you start following them. And then so early on, when all these things are happening and the content is changing, and then you see Scotto, he buys a farm in Temecula and you're like, huh, I kind of see what's going on here, yeah. you know? So,
well, then you get invested too in each person, and different people get invested in different people and mm-hmm. different things, and they like different things. So it's like it affects you differently on how everyone feels about a certain situation. Like right. they might hate the person that left and they're like, good, I didn't even like him anyways. Mm-hmm. You know, and the other guy that really liked him was like, oh, he kind of ruins it, why he left or however it is. So, yeah, it'll be interesting too, because we're going to have Eric and Angelina on mm-hmm. Eventually. And Angelina, they're both involved in a larger YouTube channels as like, I would say, guest hosts.
Guest type hosts. Thing. Like, what's another like a good word? Like a... I don't know. I can't think of it right now. But yeah. But yes, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
It'll pop my brain here in a second.
Yeah. They're not obviously like intertwined with the behind with the whole thing, but mm-hmm. they might give us some fun insight about if they can't even say anything or what they can and can't say or their opinions or whatever.
Right. Then they can't. And yeah, because they may be tied to some sort of like legal thing or whatever. But which I just realized was interesting is we hung out with that donut guy at Angelina's event mm-hmm. at RCC. And even talking to him there, it seemed like
things. Well, that was just the one guy, right? That was I don't know which guy. I don't know which.
Yeah,
one
I don't.
That
I don't
was.
Know. Yeah, I don't know. But it was like the main guy. It's one of the main guys who started the channel.
Yeah,
yeah. And so even back then, like it seemed like things were on the cusp of changing. Just the way he was talking, I can't remember exactly what he said. All I remember is we had a conversation, and I remember thinking like, "Huh, you know." Anyway.
Is this like the, so I compare it to a little bit, compare it to like hostile takeovers like a small town, uh-huh. right? It's what Walmart does to a small town or what Dollar General does to a small town, right? Mm-hmm. They'll come in and wipe Main Street out. And that's what these big money things do. They come into this channel and they don't necessarily wipe them out because they want the channel to do good. Mm-hmm. In order for them to make more money. It's like not where Walmart Dollar, they don't give a crap if the town does good. The stores can close, so Walmart makes actually more money. So it's a little different, but it's kind of the same. It's like these big things that are expected to constantly make more money.
Well, that's, and I mean, this is like a whole nother conversation.
Yeah, it's like the like shareholders.
That's the problem. All that, you know, you can that's the problem with these when these big companies take over, you know, absorb these smaller things. Is like when you have. And I'm probably going to say the wrong thing, and I'm probably not going to, and people are going to say like, that's not what that means, but bear with me in like, kind of like my capacity of thinking. It's like when the company takes over these smaller channels or any kind of big company takes over a smaller company, they don't care about anything except for maximizing profits, but eventually the profits are maximized. Like you can't go any farther. Yeah. You literally can't go any farther. So then what do? They start. So if they have a good product and that product is selling and it's being more and more profitable, that's great. But when it gets to that kind of like end game, when it stops being profitable, but they still need to make profits, well, the first thing they're going to do is start cutting everything out. They're going to get rid of the creative staff, and then that will show more profits on the next quarter. And then it's just to where it gets to a point where it's just a husk of its former thing that it used to be.
Yeah. And that's the thing, right? Like the thing is still profitable. Mm-hmm. It's just not more profitable than last quarter.
But that's the thing is they will stop.
But for a smaller company, that's fine. Like me, if you were like, hey, you can make X amount of dollars per year forever with maybe like a 2% cost of living like adjustment,
you'd be like, cool.
Yeah, like, I'm good. I'm right. But if you told a company that,
yeah,
if you told shareholders that, they would be like, no, we need to see this. So then the parent company has to go in and make changes, and then they bring in someone that will evaluate what's happening, what's making the most. Okay, let's do that. Like Hoonigan, this versus that. That's getting the most views. Okay, we're gonna go all in on that, and we're gonna. Oh, what about this cool donk builds? Oh yeah, we don't care about that.
Yep. Oh, and that's exactly what happens. And then you have 78 episodes of Tesla's racing electric bikes or some crazy thing, you know.
It was only cool when the Huna, when the
that was the peak to me of that, this versus that, when the Hunicorn was racing everything. Yeah. And but see that, but that goes back to that, like, oh man, this is maybe some treacherous territory here, but that goes back to the genuineness of something. Like the peak of this versus that was Ken Block racing the car that he created against all of these other things, you know. Yeah. And it was a formula that worked and worked really well. Well, you can't really interchange some of those pieces. You take away, obviously, because he passed, you know, but you take away Ken Block and it's just a Hunicorn race, or the Hunicorn racing things. Okay, maybe. But then you start taking away the things that
you take away the Hunicorn.
Yeah, it's like, okay, it's not fun anymore, you know?
Yeah, the only time I watched every one with the Hunicorn in it.
Same.
And then I stopped, and then I would only watch it if I knew the person racing, because I knew a couple guys that went on there and raced their trucks. Mm-hmm. And then, or if I thought the vehicle was interesting, like it caught my attention, like, oh, I wonder if that Tesla is going to beat that fast thing, or that Hummer truck is going to beat this thing. Right. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't invested in it. It was just like
that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it's interesting how things change. It'll be interesting to see where it goes. And it will also be interesting to see the next. So if we say that there's a circle of life of these brands and channels or whatever, what's the next iteration? That's going to be the interesting part.
Iteration is like again, the town, right? The town that Walmart took over. People get sick of Walmart and just sick of the genericness of it, right? And they loved it for a while because it was new and it was like, and it was this, but then the mom and pop stores start to come back and people were like, well, yeah, I'll spend a little bit more money at the mom and pop stores because of this. So I think the mom and pop stores are now like the independent channels that are coming back.
That's what I'm saying. What are they? Are they more automotive channels, or what kind of content are those ones creating?
There'll be automotive channels. They just will be less. They'll be more like real life versus like these high budget things. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, trying to think the one that, like Doug DeMero, like that group of people, like Doug DeMero, Tavarish, a lot of those guys have stayed independent. Hoovy's Garage, on that side of the thing, they haven't gone down like this conglomerate route, but what they have done is they've taken like investments from a company and then created a series within their channels. So
more like a partnership.
Yeah, like Tavarish, Hoovy's Garage, and I forgot the other guy. He does that real deep voice. Wiki, is it Wiki?
I'm not sure.
He tells stories about how he used to own this rental agency, and it's really funny. But all three of them did this thing where they all went out and bought a car, and then they had challenges over three different episodes. Mm-hmm. And they did that a couple of times, and it was cool because like it was on each of their channels, right? And so it wasn't like they just combined, made this new channel, and then left their old channels. Mm-hmm. They just did a thing on the side. And I just think that, I think it's like getting back to the YouTube roots. Mm-hmm. But then I think, and someone made a comment in the comments of that video that we're going to link in the description. Don't just watch the video, but go read the comments because they're really interesting.
Right.
What's going to happen to YouTube in the future? So YouTube is the parent of all these creators, and these companies are coming in and gobbling up creators or gobbling up companies that use YouTube.
Oh, so what
as
is
this whole thing? So what is going to happen to YouTube? Obviously Google bought YouTube, right? And so YouTube has to make a profit for Google and all this stuff. But you see it changing with YouTube with ads. Like there's tons of ads. They're forcing the ad blockers to disband, like they're fighting the ad blockers and all this stuff's like, so where's that going to go? What's the YouTube space going to be like in 10 years?
Well, I just watched a video on that and I don't, it was kind of like I was watching at lunch, not really paying attention, but, you know, this video was saying, and this was like a, how do I put it? Like a mainstream media outlet was covering this. So there was a lot of validity to it. Saying that YouTube is the number one streaming company in what they call the streaming wars, which is like, you know, Netflix and Disney Plus and all that. YouTube is dominating right now. So I don't,
as far as hours watched.
No, as far as like revenue created, just like content created, revenue created, and profits made. Like, yeah. YouTube is the king right now as far as, because it was a very interesting video. And people have said this before about creators. It's like entertainment is shifting away from big production companies to like these small creators. And they were saying that this particular video was saying that YouTube is like 10 to 20% consumed on a big TV in the living room.
Yeah,
which is a big deal. Like, people are, this is their, and this is their home entertainment is watching YouTube videos.
Yeah. Well, if you think about the profit part of YouTube, it's set up for profit. It's set up in a way where, okay, so you have a channel, like, you know, a 500,000 subscriber channel, right? I always like to use like Hoovy's Garage as an example because it's a big channel and it's their long form videos. So he is the only one that needs to make money on that entire thing. He can do his videos by himself. He films a lot of them by himself. He edits them by himself. And if he has an editor or whatever, he doesn't have to pay a production company.
Right.
So he can make a 30-minute episode just using him. He doesn't need to get permits from anywhere. He doesn't need to get permission from anyone, and he doesn't need to pay anyone.
Mm-hmm. Or he doesn't YouTube, have anything bigger telling him what kind of content to make.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. But so YouTube pays him. Mm-hmm. YouTube gets paid by Chevrolet or their advertisers. They take a percentage of that. They pay Hoovy. That's it. Netflix, in order to make a Netflix show mm-hmm. that's 30 minutes long, you have to hire a production company. You've got hundreds of people involved, paying their wages, getting permits. You know what I mean? Location stuff, like all this stuff to make a show. So the profit is like this compared to YouTube, where it's like this.
Right.
So like the model that YouTube has created, as long as they keep paying like good on their revenue sharing to these people are not going to go anywhere else. Like, why would Hoovy or why would anyone go to Amazon Prime, or why would they do that? Like, they're, because then now you're tied up in a whole different set of like of production,
right?
So like it's the perfect model. If YouTube were to ever go away, like there's going to be something right behind it, mm-hmm. and there's already stuff right behind it, which is Instagram, TikTok, mm-hmm. Facebook. In a way, like these are all things that pay their creators to make content. So YouTube just leads the way. But I wonder if like. Like you said, though, you're able to watch it on your big TV.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like watching TV.
Yeah. The part that pissed me off about that video was last year, YouTube reported like $265 billion in revenue. And they paid out $7 billion of that to its creators. And I'm like, and you break me out. Like, break me off some more bread. Give me some more of that.
That you can. You can. It's all, you're in control of that.
But that's a very good point. That's a really, really good point, because the only person in control of creating that more revenue is me by creating more content. That's a really good point. Yeah,
because you can make a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
They're there for you. They're not limiting how much money you can make. Yeah. They're like, bring us more content. We will give you as much money as you want. You know what I mean? It's
now,
like,
now that you say that, that makes a lot of sense. I'm still pissed, but
yeah. Well, if you think about like the hosting side of it, we like a lot of people don't understand what it takes to like host this content.
Mm-hmm.
Like these, this whole nother conversation. But like electricity, you know, people always think, oh, electric cars are sucking.
What about computers?
It's not electric cars. Yeah. It's data centers,
right?
These data centers that run 24/7. That have two and three times the backup, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. redundancy, all these things, those are what is going to pull electricity from the grid in the future. Electric cars are actually going to help the grid in the future. And I know, hot topic, watch out guys.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone says, oh my God, everyone charging their cars is going to pull from the grid. No, it's going to supplement. Electric cars will supplement the grid.
It's basically a bunch of stored energy. It's
batteries.
Yeah, it's bunch of stored energy everywhere.
Yeah, and that's the problem with the grid in California is California makes more energy than it can consume.
Mm-hmm.
It'll go to net zero during the day because it's producing so much energy, but when the sun goes down, that energy has nowhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when you're pulling from the actual grid. Right. So once they get that, imagine all these electric cars, stored energy 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock comes around, you get home from work, you fire up the AC, you fire up the TV, you fire up the washing machine, you start cooking dinner, and it starts pulling from the grid. It's called what's called the duck curve. Mm-hmm. And instead of pulling from the grid, you're pulling from your electric car in the garage.
Yeah.
And then once the demand diminishes around 9-10 o'clock at night, when your electric rates start to go down, cause everyone goes to bed, turns off all the power, the electric car stops charging your house and the grid starts to charge up the electric car, and you wake up in the morning and you drive to work. And it's like, it's just things like that the conversations people don't talk about.
Right. Right.
They don't understand that all this stuff. And it's actually data centers, all the stuff on your phone, AI, all this stuff that takes so much power, that's where the electricity problem comes right in.
And YouTube, they were saying 3.4 million videos a day get uploaded to YouTube.
Yeah.
That's a lot of data. That's a lot of moving around. Yeah. It's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah. A lot of moving parts. It's, have you seen the new thing that YouTube does where you can watch it in 1080p or 1080p premium?
No.
Yeah. So you could pay extra money to watch it in 1080p high bit rate versus low. And because that's what's happening. There's so much high definition content being uploaded. High definition content wasn't a thing, you know, however many years ago. Mm-hmm. Now phones record in 4K and it's more information, and YouTube's going, okay, we got to figure this out. Mm-hmm. This is more information that's being sent to us. So they now are charging you you have to do YouTube Premium, which is what, $10 a month or something like that, which is actually a really good deal because you get YouTube Music to go along with it. Mm-hmm. And you get ad free. So if you're using Spotify or whatever you're using, like, there are options out there. Like, if you pay for YouTube Premium, you get ad free YouTube and you get free YouTube Music. I know it's hard to get away from Spotify because it's like super ingrained in what everyone uses and stuff, but there are options out there. But yeah, so now they have like, if you click on the little to change the quality of the video to 4K to 1080, there's a different 1080p option.
Interesting. I haven't seen that yet. Maybe I haven't caught up to it, but yeah.
It's not on all the videos. I think it's just on some of the creator videos, and it's just one of those things where you can get, like, if we upload a 1080p video, it separates it into a lower quality 1080p or a higher quality 1080p. Mm-hmm. So it's all interesting stuff.
Yeah. It's an ever evolving beast. And that's what, as content creators, as people who do what we do, that we have to like just be open and know about all this stuff that's going on. So
I think that's the thing too, right? Is just like, is remember what was it? Vine? Vine?
Mm-hmm.
All those people that were making money on Vine and then it just went away.
It's just poof, gone.
And they were like, what are we going to do? And it's like, you have to have a backup plan. So like, imagine if YouTube goes away, where will our content go? Mm-hmm. I still have all the videos I've ever uploaded.
Yep.
So if it's like YouTube goes away, I've either got to buy storage and have my own website where people can go watch them, or I've got to upload them to something else. Because if YouTube went away, Grindr TV goes away.
Mm-hmm.
There is no Grindr TV without YouTube. Right. So all these other channels too, like where, it's almost like Instagram, TikTok, and all these other, they just kind of like supplement YouTube a little bit. They're not like, you're not like full time on those other things. Yeah. If YouTube went away, TikTok, you can upload long form videos on there. Instagram, you can, but
it's missing that link from like mobile devices to your home
living room. Or your laptop.
Or laptop, yeah.
Or whatever, you know, like in your home. Like this is what would happen. It would be like one of those companies would invest in a lot of money and then make the same thing, an app for your TV, mm-hmm. and you'd watch it on your TV, but then it would just go down. It would go down the same path,
mm-hmm.
more advertisers, more this, more that. They all go down the same path because it takes a lot of money to do these things.
Yeah.
You know, so
it'll be interesting to see if another path that all these creators and everything take is like the Patreon path, like creating, like you were saying, you have all your videos stored away.
Yeah.
You know, that would be another way, another avenue to go is like,
yeah, but I don't know what Patreon, what they're capable of doing, but imagine YouTube goes away and then everyone tries to upload to Patreon and then Patreon's like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Well, yeah,
we have to expand. We've got to buy this data center. We've got to do this. Now we're going to make the money. Now we're going to charge you even more. Like, it's just, again, it's a never ending cycle, and you just have to kind of, you have to play along, think that you're ahead of the game, but also just have a backup plan just in case, you know, like, yeah, it's all pretty. It's all, that's why people get paid the big bucks to know all that stuff.
Well, yeah. Yeah. And that's why these bigger channels like invest so much money into like figuring out the analytics and digging around. And, yeah. Like
what time's the best to post? How many posts a day?
Right. There's just so much. There's just too much stuff to. It's gotten to the point with me, like, I'm just like, I don't even try to figure that stuff out anymore. Like, my goal is just create the content and get it out there and just keep doing that. You know, like, there was a long time that I was like really wrapped up into that, like trying to figure that out. Like, okay, what thumbnail is going to work? What time to upload? How long should it be? When, you know, if you have to say this within the first 15, blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
After a while, I'm just like, I just want to make the video and put it out there, you know, because and also like, we are different, but we're different, but same. But
yeah, I was just going to say that.
Yeah. But for my different is like, you are a video company and you create YouTube videos. That's like your thing. I started as a brand, like a clothing brand that just sort of like makes YouTube videos. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, it's not, I'm not really chasing ad revenue, but it is a thing, but I'm more focused on getting the content out there so someone can consume it. And then they can be like, oh yeah, I like that. That's kind of cool. Well, that's a cool shirt. I think I'll buy one. You know,
yeah. And that's exactly what it is.
Yeah,
it's just like a band. A band makes music. People want to be a part of that band. Mm-hmm. They buy a shirt. They want to support that band. They buy a shirt. You want to support us? Go buy on our websites and buy t-shirts right now.
Go buy them. We have a giveaway going down. We don't know what we're giving.
We don't know what it is. The giveaway thing is gonna is weird. We'll figure it. We'll talk about that later. Mm-hmm. But we got to get like a consistent giveaway thing going.
Yeah.
And I have a big problem asking for things. I hate asking for things.
I get it.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, I totally get it.
I would rather get money and then buy
it ourselves. Yeah.
Yeah. So if there's a company out there that wants to co-sponsor this podcast.
Right.
That's not a competitor with Switch Suspension.
Yeah. Hit us up.
That's also not a competitor with us. So like.
Which is like, no, I thought about like, I was thinking about this like. We have Switch. We love Switch, Seth, and the whole Switch crew. So awesome. Yeah. But, like, they kind of cover a lot of bases. So then, like, what other bases don't they cover? Oh, well, I mean, they do sell apparel, but they're not apparel companies. But wait a minute. We're apparel companies. Like,
yeah. And we obviously, like, all of our apparel companies, like, we don't care about, it's not a competition with other apparel companies because, you know, it's all the same thing. Like, we promote KIK, Body Dropped, all that stuff. Like, go out and support these guys. Mm-hmm. We want you to support them just as much as you support us.
Right. But it would be weird if they sponsored what we're doing.
Yeah. We would like a manufacturer would be fun. Like Vyer or an audio man, like some sort of manufacturer would be cool. Like to sponsor it. But, I need to do that post podcast note. I need to tell you about something.
Okay. Write that down.
Writing it down.
But, other than that, next month is going to be pretty cool. We got some guest episodes going down. We're going to we're doing the slow show. That's at the end of the month.
We're waiting to see what the softball schedule is. That's the trajectory of right now. We're just,
well, so
once you know, cause you just don't know your schedule. So that like,
I do know my schedule.
Oh, okay.
So because I don't know. This is like a thing too. So like, basically we're going on vacation next week.
Okay. Yeah. No matter what happens. You're going up to the lake.
We're going up to NorCal, hang out with the NorCal guys and gals. So that like next, and that's what we got to figure out an episode too, like recording an episode like Monday or something before I leave. Cause we're leaving Wednesday morning to head to the lake and we'll be there through Sunday. And then and then we're open. Then so whatever you want to do. So
So after Sunday you're open.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's no more softball after Sunday?
There might be. I don't know.
Well, that's the thing, right? Because I already have I already know people we can interview out there, so I can come out there. What do you mean?
We'll talk post podcast talk.
That's all you had to say was I don't know my schedule. You just said you know your schedule.
I do, but I don't. It's complicated. Okay,
so you don't.
I do, but I don't.
Which is totally fine to say. It's totally fine to be like, yeah, I don't know what's going on. We'll just make these podcasts until we figure it out.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
not a big deal.
Well, no, but we still. I do have the week of when is the Andrew Callahan thing? The 17th.
17th.
Yeah. So that's when I'm coming out. I'm coming out that week.
Yeah. Yeah, we just got to figure. I don't know if you're coming out before or after.
Okay.
So that's we'll what figure I just that need out.
To know. There's a lot. We're all over the place.
That's today. What I'm saying. That's okay. I just need to know when you're coming out, and then I will take it from there and uh-huh. schedule guests.
All right, on. That sounds good.
Because I also got to schedule, because that thing is in Tucson. Mm-hmm. So like, if we can't. What's that?
I was just going to say, and that's weird. Why wouldn't they do? And but that's another thing.
They like, do. They're doing it in Phoenix.
Oh, too, they are.
This Sunday.
Oh, okay.
No, yeah, this Sunday. And I was going to be gone this weekend, but mm-hmm. I changed my plans. And then I was like, nobody wants to go to the Andrew Callaghan thing with me, except maybe Frank.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or my buddy Braden. But he's not going to be out here. So I was like, yeah. Okay, let's do this in July. And Tucson is not, it's not very far, and it's different mm-hmm. and kind of interesting. So like, if we got to schedule a podcast in the Phoenix area and then drive to Tucson, we can't just like schedule a podcast and then drive back to my house because right. it's so far from Tucson.
Right. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's got to be all set up right. Living out here, things have to like go a certain way or else you're just driving all over the place.
Right. Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. So yeah, we do have a couple more episodes like this. I was going to talk about, I have an update for my ice truck. That's what I'm going to call it now. It's just the ice truck.
What is your update? Did you do your oil change yet?
Not yet, but we'll talk about that. We'll save that conversation because there's a lot of stuff going on. It's really interesting, actually. Yeah. But I'll leave you guys with this. I'm doing good. Like everything's fine. Everything is going to be fine. At least with my truck. There are many, 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 many other trucks.
Well, that video that you sent me mm-hmm. said that the production of that bearing goes through April of 2024. That's when they changed the part number.
Yeah, but hold on. We'll talk about it next week.
Okay. Why are you talking about it? Just talk about it now. That's what we're supposed to talk about.
Because we're going to have nothing to talk about next week.
Yes, we will.
Okay.
We always do.
All right. Fine. Fine, fine, fine. We'll get into it.
See, I was all prepared to talk about these idiots online that spread fake news.
I was just trying to stretch out what little things we had to talk about, stretch them out a little bit more. But I guess we can...
All right, give us your update.
So the update is there's this YouTube channel called the Car Care Nut or something like that. And this dude is really great. Like he's an ex-Toyota master technician. I don't know where his shop is. I think it's somewhere in LA. I'm not sure. But he's like a Toyota guy. So over the years, just... being a Toyota guy myself, I watch videos. He'll like talk about, you know, 4Runners and this blah blah blah. So he finally came out with his video on this the Tundra situation, which is that the Tundra motors are blowing up essentially. The main bearings are being spun in them. Toyota, I talked about this before. Toyota issued a recall on trucks manufactured from November of 22 to February of 23. That's the first phase of what they're saying is the affected motors. And Toyota is saying that there are machining debris within the motor that is causing these failures. So that's the situation. So this guy made a video, and like right now, if you go on YouTube and you put in Tundra recall, there are hundreds of videos of like, Toyota's reputation is cooked. Don't buy a Tundra. Your truck is worthless. Like, I mean, and obviously those are clickbaity because we were just, that was a really good segue. Our YouTube conversation segueing into this conversation about my truck.
Yeah.
Because it has a lot to do with YouTube. And obviously there are creators out there who see this as an opportunity. Like, well, I'm going to get clicks and I'm going to get views. So they're going to make it the most negative thing they can. And being a Tundra owner is really frustrating because you can't find any like good information on it. It's just a bunch of, like you said, just a bunch of negativity and trolls and people who either don't even own Toyotas or Tundras putting their two cents in. So it's like this really hard thing to navigate. So this guy put together this video, and we should link this video too if you want to watch that one. So we have the the big YouTube channels being taken over and people leaving video, and now we have this what would you call it? Like a Tundra update video.
Anyway. Yeah.
So first of all, this guy, he's a really like kind of soft spoken dude. It's him sitting there on this table with these two Toyotas behind him. And it was almost like my dad talking to me, like talking yeah. me through a problem. He's like, all right now, buddy, now don't, it's okay. Everything's going to be all right. So basically what he went over each thing, it's a 40 minute video. It's really interesting. If you really want to get in the mud about it, that, you know, because it's a really hard thing to say that there's these debris in the motors is making them, like there has to be a specific thing that's happening. And actually what's really like spinning the bearings, and this is why some people say it's only...
Well, this is we have to say though, this is also just his opinion.
Oh, it is 100% his opinion. Yeah. This is 100% yeah. his opinion. But what he's doing is like a lot of these other videos that I'm talking about will just read the recall. And
I have a thing on that too. So we'll circle back okay. to that once you finish.
So most of them will just read the recall and that's yeah. that. He takes it one step further. He's like, well, we have to like think of it. Why is it doing these things? Mm-hmm. So he really breaks it down to why the bearings are spinning and all of these things. And that's why. So like I said, the first phase of this are the 22 to 23s. But and that's why you hear some of the 24s doing the same thing, because, again, this is his opinion and this is like, you know, just him doing his own research. But he said that one of the telltale things, signs of a recall or them figuring out what's wrong with it, is they will have part number, because everything in a motor has a part number. So what he does, he went through the entire motor looking at all the part numbers, because what happens is when a recall happens and a new part is manufactured, they supersede the old part number. Yeah. So what they'll do is that, like, you can see it that, okay, this part number goes from this date to this date and it's replaced with this number. So after doing all of his research, he found out that, yeah, the bearings have changed. So it's actually a two-part thing, and I'm going to do my best to try to explain it. Is the first part that got the part that got superseded is one of the bearings, and that got superseded in January of 24. So that means any from the very beginning Tundras up until January 2024, they were using the same bearing that failed. But in January of 24, they switched over to this new bearing and this new part number that they changed. And then, so the second thing is that changed, and this is the one that you were talking about, that one in April was another bearing, but the part hasn't been superseded yet. They just changed, and this is where I might mess things up, and you have to go watch the video to clarify. But, like, the part wasn't superseded. It was just changed. Like, the number was changed, but they're still, like... So
here's the thing. Nobody listening to this is going to go watch this video.
Yeah. Okay. Fine.
This is just for us.
Yeah.
This is like a very in-depth thing.
I should have wrote notes. I thought I had it all in my head, but now I'm trying to get it out of my head and I'm like having a hard time doing it.
Well, yeah. Cause like basically the thing is this, the whole gist of it without needing to get technical is when something like this happens, and it happens to every automaker, because what people decide to buy, right? And then a bunch of people say, oh, that decision's not, you're essentially defending your decision. Mm-hmm. You're not defending the product, you're defending your decision to buy that product.
Yeah, because, like, you know, that's what
you decide, like, mm-hmm. you think that was the best decision. And then it was interesting because I saw a couple comments about this, and people were just like, look, the only thing that you have, that Toyota has, like, their biggest rock is their reliability. Mm-hmm. So when there's a hairline crack in that reliability, all these people that don't buy Toyota,
yeah, they're like,
they pounce on it. Yeah. Right. It's just like the Chevy versus Ford thing. If Ford has a problem, Chevy guys are like, see, told you. Mm-hmm. But the thing is every manufacturer has problems,
right?
Every manufacturer has recalls. Everything does. And so, like, this is, again, it goes back to, like, everything's going to be fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because Toyota will fix it. So the only thing that I want to finish on about the whole, like, dates and superseding and all that stuff is, so the last part number change was made in the beginning of April. So, like you were saying, up until that point, they were using the same part, but in the beginning of April, they started using a different part. My truck was made in the second or third week of April.
Yeah, you're like,
I was like,
you're like, this is what happened. It's perfect. It's like perfect timing. Well, like, imagine if you would have bought that first one that you were looking at.
That's exact. I was like, watching this video last night. You're like,
your decision, uh-huh. your decision in all of this,
yeah,
is like, you were, all these things lead to you feeling good about the decision you made.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. Like, if you make a decision, a big decision in life, and then that decision is not a good decision, you feel
not
good about it. Like, you don't feel good about it. Yeah. And then you start to, like, a lot of people will start to defend that decision and all this stuff. And it's like, look, let's just speak about the facts. It's not no one's, this is no one's fault.
And that's what that dude was really driving the point home in this video.
Exactly. He was so, like, good about that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why I said it was like talking to your dad or something, like, you know, walking you through a problem or
it'd be okay, or buddy. It's going to be all right.
Just think about this, like, logically, you know? And then he's all like, hey, so his whole thing was like breaking it down to make the Tundra owners, you know, feel okay in this situation. But then also he said, hey, but you do have to accept the fact that things could go wrong, or this is what's happening. So, like, he didn't, like, totally, he, like you said, he did it perfectly. He wasn't these, like, crazy clickbaity, like the whole shit's going down. And but he wasn't like ignorant to the fact that like, hey, these things are real things.
It is a real problem. Yeah. Like, and I look what he said at the end when he was like, dear Toyota.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah.
This is what you like. Don't screw these owners. Toyota owners are just like any other manufacturer, right? They're very loyal. Mm-hmm. And if you break that, like you will lose customers.
Yeah.
So like, imagine like you this Toyota guy, like you buy Toyotas, you love Toyotas, and then you make the biggest Toyota purchase of your life, and then Toyota screws you.
Yeah.
Well, that's, you will be like, am I going to buy, like there will be, you will question your next vehicle.
Oh, purchase. For sure. Yeah. 100%.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So like, that's what he was saying in that whole thing. Like do right by your customers because it's the only way that you're going to make money after this.
Yeah.
Like you're going to lose money doing this. Do it the right way, because if you lose $1 billion, you're going to make that up twofold taking care of these people.
Oh, yeah. And then when you're going to try to sell them $60,000-$70,000 trucks after it's all said and done, you know,
and it all even goes back to the smallest thing of like selling a T-shirt. You know what I mean? Like if I ship the wrong size shirt and this dude's like, hey, man, I got the wrong size shirt, and I just ship him the right size shirt. No questions asked. Like it's all relative.
And that's the biggest question right now for those people who do have older Tundras who are affected by this. That's going to be and even me, like, I don't know, like I'm just saying these things to me myself, but I have no idea what's going on. You know,
that's why I asked about the oil change. Cause that's what he said. He goes, a lot of these people are saying like, go, the only way to tell is go get an oil change. Mm-hmm. So, and people are like within 500 miles, like go, don't wait 5,000 miles to get your oil change. Because now is you're going to be able to tell if you have stuff in your oil. Mm-hmm. They can look at the oil and go, no, you're fine. Mm-hmm. And then it like relieves this whole thing.
Yeah.
Or they can look at the oil and go, oh yeah, you're not fine. But if you wait 5,000 miles,
yeah,
you're 5,000 miles of worry. You're 5,000 miles of you could do harm to the motor when there's not harm done now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, so it's just one of those things. Like, I wonder how many oil, like all of a sudden Toyota's just like, man, why are all these people scheduling early oil changes? It's kind of good for them. They're going to make some of their money back, yeah, right? Or early oil changes.
Yeah. But, yeah.
We have two Toyota technicians in our club.
We do. Yeah.
So we should ask them.
Yeah. Be interesting to get their take on it.
And see what they said. And Jacob had it. Does he still have his Tundra? Yeah. Jacob, do you listen to this? Does Jacob listen to this?
Maybe. I don't know. He's had two Tundras because he bought one of the very first ones, like in 22 or whatever, and then he just got another one. So, yeah, he would be an interesting dude to talk to.
The other thing that was interesting about that video was how he explained that people that build these trucks are not engine manufacturers.
Right.
They're an assembly line worker that puts together things based on
procedure.
A set of procedures. So, how you were saying, oh, this is only the Alabama plant. That's not really true.
That wasn't true. It was also in the Japanese plant as well. Yeah,
because whatever they're doing there, they're replicating here.
Right.
So it's like, it's this whole thing. So, but yeah, it's all interesting. And this goes back to like my thing about the internet and just and clickbaity things. And we all know that rage sells, clicks sell. Mm-hmm. So, there were videos. I started watching video when I started shopping for the Maverick and I was looking for trucks, and I started seeing this trend of these YouTube channels. And they were, so when you make a YouTube channel about a car, you can get stock footage from the manufacturers to use for free.
Oh, really?
Right. Yeah. They pay for all these nice rolling shots and all these nice interior shots because they want you to sell their cars for them, mm-hmm. right? So that it's free to use this stock footage. All these YouTube channels are just, they're making these 10-minute videos about like this new truck coming out, the 2025 Nissan Titan. And I'm going, they're not doing this. What are you talking? And they're just reading this script that they wrote and using this footage of these trucks driving, this nice footage. You never see the person talking. Mm-hmm. And nothing like this. And then there are some where you do see the person talking, but they're literally saying a lot without saying anything.
Oh yeah. Happens all the time. And they're
200,000 subscribers, mm-hmm. hundreds of thousands of views. All the comments are like, I can't wait till this comes out. You got any more information? They're not responding to any of these because they're lying and they know they're lying. They're doing it for ad revenue.
Right. Yeah.
It's all they're doing it for. So you have to like, be careful of all these things. Like the people that are making the videos, there's people that will make a good video as far as information goes. And those are the ones, if you look on the title of the video, if it says like Toyota trucks grenading, you're probably not going to get a good overround.
And I feel victim to that very quickly, but then I realize,
You're just like, oh, I'm just giving these guys what they want.
Exactly.
They want rage clicks. It's just like a headline from the news, from a news, you know, a big news company or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's fear mongering. It's like getting people mad. And then you watch another video and another video and another video. And it's like, you have to be diligent on your internet searches. Even the comments, a lot of them are, they're like people that own Jeeps that hate Tacomas.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or hate Tundras or whatever. They're like, see, told you, my decision to buy this Chevy was better than your decision to buy that Tundra.
Yeah. And that's that like self-soothing. They're uh-huh. they're making themselves feel better about their decision.
Yep. I had a buddy last that I was talking to, and he said that the Tacoma transmissions were failing. And I go, oh yeah, I thought I heard something about that. And he goes, yeah, they're crappy. He had a third gen Tacoma, and he said the transmission sucked because it was always hunting for gears. This stuff, which that's a legit complaint from Tacoma owners. The failing complaint in the new Tacomas is a statement of truth because maybe how many failed, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. there's this thing like percentages. If someone sells 100,000 things and two fail, those two people are going to complain to right.
They're going to be the loudest also.
They're going to be the mm-hmm. loudest. They're going to make complaints. You can't base an entire thing on that. Like that's the reason when they issue recalls, it's because more things like this thing was failing versus it just a few of them were mm-hmm. failing. But YouTube creators and people will take those things and just run with them because they think that they're like giving you news, or they think that they're giving you all this stuff, when in turn they're just getting views right. and they're getting comments and they're getting engagement. Yeah, and they're exactly. like, they see that and they go, oh, this is an easy way. Rage is an easy way.
You just describe the societal problem currently.
100%. If you follow anyone and they're saying these crazy things, they're probably, they take a truth that's like 40% uh-huh. truth and 60% bullshit. Mm-hmm. And you have to pick that apart and just find out what is actually true and what's not true. And, or if it's partially true, why is the partially true part true? And not, yeah, you know exactly. what I mean? It's just like this. It's
well, like you're saying, as a consumer, and like, cause like, and I think we're still like learning how to be consumers too, you know, like,
well, consumers, of
that's
media,
what I mean.
That, right? Yeah. And when people say me, they always say, oh, media, the word media is just information.
Right. Anything could be,
it's yeah. literally anything. A CD, it holds media. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? A DVD holds media. So media is everything. It's anything. It's you could watch the smallest YouTube channel and go, yeah, this guy, I believe this guy because he's small time. Well, he's just media. He's doing it right. on a smaller scale than a bigger media platform. So it's just like, it's all the same shit.
Well, that's what I mean. As media consumers, we're still learning how to consume the media too. You know, because brand new.
Yeah. And it's funny because younger people actually understand how to consume media versus like older people.
Right. Oh yeah. Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean? You know, so. We can get into that, but we won't. Don't believe everything you read. Mm-hmm. Remember that saying?
Oh yeah.
It's the same thing with the internet, right? Mm-hmm. And if there's a dude, the problem too is like if there's one guy and he's telling you something, he's talking directly to you. Mm-hmm. But if there's no one there to talk back and forth to have dialogue with,
right? And it's just like going straight into you.
Yeah, that person can say whatever they want.
Oh yeah.
And as soon as, and you're like, oh yeah, he's right. Well, how mm-hmm. do you know he's right? How do you know any of those comments are from real people?
Exactly.
So, you know what I mean? Like I sent you that comment from that guy from Canada that said, oh, we've seen multiple of these. How do we know that's even a real mechanic? Oh,
that's the point you're trying to make. Yeah, because I was like, I see what you're saying.
Right?
Yeah, because when you said that to me, I was like, but yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
I know a real mechanic. His name's Jacob. He's in our club, mm-hmm. and he works at Toyota, and Woody from our club in Canada works at Toyota, and Steve in our club works at SoCal Toyota. We got three different parts of the country. Mm-hmm. We could send a text real quick. Hey, man, how many engine failures are you seeing? Hey, man, how many Tacoma transmission failures are you seeing?
Right.
And if they're like, oh, a bunch. Okay, well, that what's a bunch?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because do you service two Tacomas a month or do you service 1,000 Tacomas a month?
Right.
Like, a bunch, if you service two Tacomas a month and one failed, that's a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
If two Tacomas failed and you service 1,000, that's not a bunch. Yeah. That's just shit happens.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, you're right. Your point stands. Like, just do your due diligence. Don't freak out. Don't. Yeah, just kind of take it as.
Yeah, with anything, because the Maverick is the same way. It's like people, like, there's all kinds of problems with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, crap, when's mine going to fail? When's mine just going to lose power? Mm-hmm. When's mine going to do this? But I've read maybe 100 over the lifetime of the vehicle that I've had it. I've read like 100 bad things, but they've sold how many and no one's complained
about
them.
Right, right.
So same with the Rivian. Like, I started reading all these bad things about it and I'm like, okay, hold on.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, let me search the highest mileage Rivians. And people are like, 50,000 miles, no problems. Mm-hmm. 50,000 miles had this small problem. They took care of it. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, you're just reading the bad stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's easy too. The other thing that was kind of the big takeaway from that video that I was talking about is he was saying that, you know, it's really scary right now because you have this word recall and all of these, like, you know, spun bearings and catastrophic failure. But he's like, it's actually a good thing because a recall never expires.
Yeah. Like, a recall. I have recalls for my Titan that I got in the mail the other day.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I got them in. Take it to the dealer and they'll fix it.
Yeah. And that's his point. He's all, because if it was like a, I forget what the other term he used, but if it was like a, on our trucks on the Titans, it was the exhaust manifolds were cracking.
Yeah.
Those were under warranty, but they were an extended warranty up to 80,000 miles.
So there's
a difference.
There's a difference between a recall and a service bulletin.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah. Yeah. And what happens is, Toyota or Nissan should have recalled those manifolds.
Mm-hmm.
But they never did. And guess what? People stopped buying Titans.
Yeah.
They're going to see all this stuff and they're going, well, did they fix them? Nope. And so I'm like, well, I'm not going to go buy another Titan because of that. I'm going to go buy this truck that they like a manufacturer stands behind. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and that sucks. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It sucks. And it's like, having a manufacturer that, like, hopefully Toyota does, like what that guy said, you know, replaces the long block. Cause mm-hmm. what he was also saying that, right. If they do a short block, you don't want a guy in there.
That was a big point. It's like any other kind of like job or anything. You have guys who are really, really, really good at what they do and really, really take pride in what they do. And then you have guys that the way he put it, he's all, I wouldn't trust him to change the oil in my truck. So he's all, if you start pulling them apart and putting short blocks in them, like, that's going to save Toyota money in the long run. If they're it's going to cost 10 times as much to slap a new motor in that thing, but they're going to save a bunch of money with all of the crap that's going to come with people pulling these motors apart and parts over here, parts over there, you know, like. And that was,
and then we can ask, like, anyone in the that listens to us or watches, do you guys have any a new generation Tundra? Does anyone else have one?
Who's in the boat with me?
Yeah, who's either or thinking about buying one? Has this changed your mind about buying one?
Yeah,
you know, like, and would you go buy a Chevy over a Tundra? Because did this change your mind about that when you know damn well Chevy has transmission problems? Mm. You know what I mean? Like, or a Ford when they were having problems with, I don't know, turbos or whatever, you know, like an engine problem is probably the scariest, but there's other things that actually fail that are just,
check this out. At the very end of that video, that guy said, he's all like, this will pass, things will get fixed and we'll move on. We did the same thing when the throttle pedals got stuck. And he's all, you don't even remember that, do you? And I'm like, that was
if you want to really get scary, man, there's a lot of recalls that happen. I was listening to an episode of the Smoke and Tire and this person was on there talking about like recalls where the Ford trucks were just shifting automatically.
Mm-hmm.
Like
And then when they shake, have you seen the F series trucks where the steering wheel just starts shaking for no reason?
Yeah,
so it's like things happen.
Things
are always happening.
Yep.
But like you said, it's, to me, a shaky F-150 doesn't mean anything. But the guy who owns that F series truck is like, you know, it feels the way I feel. my Tundra, I feel how I feel. People are like, I don't care. Like, I don't have a Tundra, you know? So it's like, yeah. it's everybody just trying to like, kind of like, you know, get themselves through whatever they got going on. And everybody's got stuff going on.
Yep.
So that's the update on the.
I don't have anything going on. My Titan's fine.
I know. My Titan's fine, too. It's just sitting
Chelsea just put another 4,000 miles on it, driving it every day, or I don't know how, like 2 or 3,000 miles on
That's
it
awesome.
While your Civic was in the shop. I was like,
my Titan's like sitting on the sidelines, like just waiting, like, all right, put me in, coach.
Yeah. My bearings are just fine. You never had to worry about my bearings.
Tell you what, though, like the other side of it is like I walk out, and I see the Tundra, and I'm like, I look at him like, I don't give a shit what happens to that motor. That is a beautiful motherfucking truck. I don't know. Whatever.
That's a lie, but that's okay. You tell yourself. You keep telling yourself.
I like it. I love
it. Oh, no. Yeah. You like it because it runs. If you walked out and that truck was blown up, you would be like, this thing is a piece of shit. You would not go out there. Like, you would not go out there and go, this is a beautiful machine. You would fucking be pissed.
No, I would. I would. No, I thought you said I was lying about the fact that it's a beautiful truck. I'm like, it is a beautiful truck.
It is. It's
a very good looking vehicle.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's so funny that how some vehicles change, because I'll see a Tundra and I'm like, is that a Tundra or a Tacoma?
The GMC.
I mean a Tundra. Like, is that a Tundra or a Tacoma size wise? Because depending on the trim, some of them, like, if they have the small wheel and tires on them, they just look like they skipped leg day almost.
Right. Yeah.
You know, all these new trucks, when they come with like the smaller wheels and tires, you're like, why does that look weird? And all you do is change the wheels and tires, and then they look really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh.
Yeah. That's like the difference between the pros and the regular trucks. That's the same thing.
Yeah.
But cool. All right. Well, I'll keep everybody updated on the truck. I'm going to drive it. I'm taking it to, like I said, I'm taking it on a 10-hour trip next week, and then another 4-hour trip out to Slow in a couple weeks after that. So,
yep.
See what happens.
See what happens.
Yep. But, yep. Got anything else?
I have a lot, but I can't talk about it yet.
Okay.
Because I want it to be a surprise. I'm excited for a lot of things. I'm just like, I've been over here for the last month going like, come on. Come on. But I think things will start to finally.
Nice. And then we'll have stuff to get talk going. About.
Yes, we will.
Well, I don't know. We talked for an hour, 22 minutes right now. We're always going to have stuff to talk about.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. So tune in next week to hear us ramble on for another hour or so.
Yeah, we have the Tundra updates weekly now.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll let you know what's going on next week.
The Tundra updates. All right, cool. All right.
Bye.
Go buy stuff.
Yeah, go buy stuff. Grinder. Right. Wait, no. Grinder-TV.
Whatever. Doesn't matter. Custom. Just buy stuff.
Buy stuff. Bye. Later.